week of Passover, as they were having the Passover meal, Jesus gives them a new way to celebrate and to remember Him, knowing that in a few hours He would go to a cross, die for our sins. Jesus, as they were eating in verse 26, Jesus took bread and blessed it, broke it, gave to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Would you join me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, as we come this morning to a very sacred day, the life of our church, on occasions we pause to celebrate and remember the greatest gift and greatest sacrifice, that is of what you did for us on Calvary, so that we could have forgiveness of sin, so that we could have a relationship with the Father, so we could have a home in heaven forever. I pray this morning as we partake, as we join together as a body of believers here in this New Testament church, as we celebrate the person that we love, the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that as we remember what He's done for us, may it cause us to take and to be more faithful, to be more loving, to be more obedient, and serve You more. We ask, Lord, Your blessings upon it. This I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
"Amen."
You see. When Jesus said, "The bread represents my body," He was leaving for His disciples a way that they could understand what would happen in the next few hours. There would be a time of prayer and agony in the garden. There would be an arrest. There would be a trial. There would be beatings, thorns, whips. Then there would be a cross. And then there would be a tomb. All of those things would be confusing. They would be devastating. This is not what the disciples intended. This is not what they expected. Just a few days later, they stood in Jerusalem in the streets and shouted, "Hosanna, palm leaves, King of the Jews." So now, it seems the tone has changed. Jesus' tone has changed. And now He prepares for what God has intended from the foundation of the world, that there be a sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. So when Jesus tells His disciples, "Take this bread, because it represents my body, which is broken for you." His body had not been broken yet. It had not died yet. So to the disciples, it was confusing. And He understood that. But today we look at it from the other side of the cross. We see now what Jesus was saying. We see now what He meant. That as we take the bread this morning, we celebrate what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says that before He took the bread, He blessed it. Again, we don't know what He said. We're not sure how He blessed it. What did He say to the Father? How did He thank Him for this? I think the greatest way we could do it is just to say thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross and dying for us. Monty, would you say the blessing on the bread?
Heavenly Father, we do thank You for an opportunity this morning to reflect back on the broken body that we're remembering this morning. We thank You for the sacrifice made so that we can have this day of remembrance of what You did do for us, God. We just ask the blessings on this bread we're about to pass out, God, and those to be able to participate with a clear mind, a clear conscience, and just thank You, God, once again for allowing us to be here and go through this today, God. Just bless everything we intend to do here in the rest of this service, Lord, and we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance. It says then in verse 27 that he took the cup and gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins. And Jesus was referring to the cup, literally, on the table. They didn't have this. Okay? They had one cup, and they passed the cup around. We took a vote many years ago, decided not to do that. Okay? We decided not to do that. Just so that you're not nervous about that. No, seriously, the cup represented something that the disciples didn't understand either. Jesus said he's going to shed his blood. That the necessity of the blood was for the forgiveness of sin. Now, they all knew Old Testament sacrifice. They all understood the Day of Atonement. They all understood the Holy of Holies, the priest, and the blood. They understood that. What they didn't understand was why Jesus was telling them that his blood was now going to be necessary for their forgiveness of sin. They didn't understand it. And because they didn't understand that, after all that was going to happen in the next 36 hours, they would need to have a way to understand it, and then to explain it to somebody else. These disciples were going to be entrusted to take this message to the whole world. They were going to be entrusted to tell others of the saving grace of God and the sacrifice of Jesus. So if they don't understand it, how else is everybody else going to understand it? So Jesus doing this Last Supper, upper room experience, even though the guys sitting around the table didn't get it, I believe later on it clicked. It had to. Somewhere along the line, they began to say, wait a minute, that's what he was talking about. Somewhere, they said, the body, the blood, the sacrifice. Now they get it. Somewhere, they had to get it. And the reason Jesus has left it for us as believers, because it is a way that we can come together as a body of Christ, whether we're from Pelzer or Williamson, Powdersville, Piedmont, Easley, wherever we're from, even from China, we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and we can celebrate. Because of the blood that was shed. The necessity of the blood that was shed. Jesus was and is God. And because he is God, one drop of blood was enough to cover the sins of the whole world. But because he was dying for all of mankind, of all the world, I believe Jesus shed every single drop out of his body. There was none left on the cross when it was over, to show that it was a complete sacrifice for all of mankind. So when you take the cup this morning, this little cup of Welch's grape juice, to remember Jesus' blood, understand that what you're taking is a symbol of the blood that covers your sins and mine today. And because of his blood shed on the cross, we can have salvation. We can be forgiven. And we'll never have to worry about that forever. Amen. Amen. Jesus also gave thanks for the cup. Again, we don't know what he said. But let's thank Jesus this morning for the blood. Bill, would you pronounce the thanks?
Our most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the sacrifice that you made, for the blood that you shed on the cross, that each of us can be saved. Come together this morning, just thanking you for that and for the time that we can celebrate that. Praise your name.
my death. This morning is a special, I don't mention it every time, but may not be aware of it. But I know that I am aware of at least two who are here this morning who are taking communion for the first time as a believer, as a baptized believer. Just a couple weeks ago in our baptism service. So I know at least two are here who are doing their first communion, first Lord's Supper. In fact, and that's very special. And I celebrate that and I honor that today with them. Thank you, God, for setting up the table for us this morning. Have a great thank you, deacons, for serving. Appreciate that very much. So what happens next? Well, after they finish in the upper room, the Bible says that they made their way out to the Mount of Olives, to the base of the Mount of Olives. That's where the Garden of Gethsemane is located. It is John's Gospel who gives us much of the conversation, and even John 17 gives us Jesus' lengthy prayer for his disciples, knowing that what they're about to face in the coming hours, and for what all believers would be faced in the centuries ahead. So, as they made their way, it would be then that Jesus would spend 3 hours of agony in the garden praying. I'm convinced the devil was trying to kill him in the garden before he ever got to the cross. He prayed in such agony that his sweat became his great drops of blood. He was arrested. Judas, kiss, all of those things would take place, and the hand of the plan of God was in motion. Everything was exactly as the will of God was, so that Jesus would go to a cross and die for our sins. But aren't you thankful that he didn't stay?
Amen.
Aren't you thankful that 3 days later, he got up out of the grave on that first Easter Sunday? And his glorious resurrection was something the disciples didn't expect either. And now they start putting it together. And that's why Jesus spent the next 40 days after his resurrection talking to his disciples, talking to the believers, telling them what they're to do now, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I wonder how many times after that, when they gathered to worship, tradition tells us that the early church would actually observe the communion, Lord's Supper, in almost every service. And because it was that important, that was also the problem that Paul had to address in 1 Corinthians 11, because just like a bunch of addicts, they made it tradition, they made it a ritual, they made it with no meaning, and it became no meaning, so Paul had to correct that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We observe it here in our church at least once a quarter on the fifth Sunday. We'll do it during Easter week. We'll do it during Christmas candlelight communion. We may do it at other times as well. So it's not if we do it every week or if we do it once a month or whatever. I'm in favor of doing it as much as we can. There's nothing wrong with it. But we don't want to make it a ritual. We don't want it to lose its meaning. But I believe that the disciples, once they got it, once they understood it, then they began to share it, tell the message. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take what this means. We're supposed to share it. We're supposed to tell it. We're supposed to live it. Let it be part of our very lives as a Christian. So when the disciples went out and sung a hymn, it said in verse 30, the passage we read, again, we don't know what hymn they sang. Because if we did, you know what they would do, right? Everybody would say, you got to sing this hymn, or it's not right. You know, everybody would do that. So we don't know what it was. We like to sing Amazing Grace a lot when we do this. We picked out something different this time. It's 56 in your hymn book. We want you to stand. We're going to sing To God Be the Glory. Great things He has. You know, this is a great thing He's done for us. And this morning, we want you to take and sing it, worship, and celebrate the glory of God and what He's done for us.